Hey everyone, welcome back to Dad Space. You know, the place where we talk to dads about dad stuff. And Steve's with me. My last chat of the day and Steve's last thing of the day. So you're catching us at our best because we've got all the other stuff out of the way. We've saved the best to the last. Steve, welcome to Dad Space. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here, have some fun. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned last call of the day being the best. And it's you always show up with a little extra energy to that last call because you know it's that last call. So I'm looking forward to it.
So if there's a big gap of silence in our recording, both Steve and I have nodded off. Just so you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the... The creativity isn't necessarily at its highest this time of the day, but energy is on point.
Yeah, we'll just say it's a creative break that we put in there. We've given you back some time. So yeah, Steve, tell everybody where you are in this big world of ours.
Yeah, so I live, I know you mentioned all over the world earlier, so live in the United States. I'll just throw that out there to kick it off, but all the way on the East Coast in northern New Jersey is where my family and I live.
Awesome, great. Tell us about your family. Who's in your home? Give us an update on that as well.
Yeah, I'll start with small to big. So we have a tortoise. You know, my daughter does. Nice. I'll say. We do have two dogs, a Labradoodle and an American Staffordshire Terrier, as our pets and kind of completing it. And then my wife and I have one daughter. She's 13 years old, going on I think 33 years old or so. Probably more for my wife than me. We still get along pretty well. And then my wife, she's the CEO of the house, as I kind of like to call her, just making sure that we're all kept in check and we all are on pace and doing what needs to happen, which is challenging on a good day. And then you have me trying to work away and accomplish the American dream, if you will, with the support of my family and everything like that. So a little bit of a... doing all the things, if you will.
I love it. I love it. Talk about, I have a daughter. I have three kids. My middle one is my daughter. And there's just a special bond between dads and daughters that I find. One thing that I really struggled with was when my daughter got in high school, all those little cuddly, snuggly moments we had when she was young, I could see them fading away. And I could see a finish line when... you know, hey, when I'm 25, I'm not going to be climbing up in your lap to snuggle before bedtime. I knew there was a date when this was going to end. And I actually still remember the last time we snuggled together in my big chair by the TV. And it's like, I didn't want to let her go. So as a dad, talk about the special bond that you have with your daughter. What does it mean to you to have a daughter in your house? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's... I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I do. I am very much the rules, the enforcer, the emotional, I don't want to use the word stability, but I'll call it that, like stay in that middle zone of emotions, never too high, never too low. And I think there's a lot of times where, you know, our daughter's looking to either mom or I, and she knows like, oh, I had a problem at school with a friend because they hurt my feelings and she's not coming to me. That's not what I'm here for. That's not the thing that I'm going to comfort her on. My advice is probably going to be a little bit more when you get older, that stuff's not going to matter. So figure it out now, depending upon the exact instance. Yeah. But when we think about some of the other pieces where we're going to go do something and she's going to look at me, it's we're going to try something brand new, something that might be scary. Or my daughter and I run Spartan races together, and before that we have our moment where she's looking at me for the comfort she needs. And it's this interesting situational awareness where she goes, I know who to go to for the comfort, for the support, for the emotional support that I need based upon the thing that I'm doing right now. Granted, if there's a friend that really upsets her and mom's not around, then I'm there for her. But if we're both there, she knows who she's going to for that. So I kind of look at our bond very much as we're going to go do something hard, something brand new that we've never done before. And she's coming to me and it's that let's go tackle this together. Let's push that fear aside, if you will. Same token where if she goes and she gets a really good grade on a math test, she's going to mom. But if she goes to woodshop and builds a toolbox or builds a birdhouse, she's coming home and excited to tell me. And it's those little things. Like this past weekend, we built a little trellis that she put in her bedroom over a chair that she got. And we built it together. We had fun for an hour and a half. We went to on a Home Depot trip and, you know, 13-year-old girls excited to go to Home Depot. And that's a daddy-daughter nice. Thing to go do. So at 13, I'm sure I still have plenty of time to have those moments, but I definitely know at some point in time, it's not always going to be that way. And she will be, you know, as you said, not really looking for that comfort from daddy anymore. Yeah. So
those daddy daughter dates, that's hard to say. Daddy daughter dates. Those are great because, you know, it's like, I watch the videos of like a dad coming and bringing flowers to their daughter when they're little and taking them out somewhere special and just dating your kids. I just think that's a great way to let them see a different side of you as a dad as well. Not just the authority and just the dad, but also there's a softer side of us as dads to demonstrate.
Oh, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. We have, and it's funny. And for the life of me, I'll never understand it, but until still this day, for as long as we've done our daddy-daughter dates, we go to the exact same restaurant every single time. And I ask her, where do you want to go? I want to go here. And it's not a bad restaurant. It's just, it's not a great restaurant. And I don't understand why it's the place, but it's an older family-owned Italian restaurant in town. No alcohol, BYO, a very small menu, nothing crazy. And she gets literally the same exact thing every single time as well. So it's this emotional tie to that place in that instance. But when she was younger, she would always ask, oh, we're going to go out and you're going to open a door for me, or you're going to do this. And she could see those moments where, not that I'm not sweet and caring, you know, outside of those dates, but there's the intentional, I'm going to open the door for you. We're not running outside to hop in the truck to go to school mentality where you're opening the door, I'm jumping in the door, we're racing to get to school on time type thing. And she was aware of those subtle differences that happen, which was always intriguing to me.
Yeah, I know, like on Valentine's Day, for example, I would buy my wife flowers, which I love to do. And I would also buy my daughter flowers as well and just surprise her with that. And it's kind of like this moment of, wow, you thought of me too. You know, like, wow, that's so, wow. And that's a memory that I purposely wanted to have, knowing that I was going to have a daughter, is that you only get, let's say, 17 Valentine's days, if you want to get really down to the numbers, before they're off to college or doing something or whatever, right? And I'm like, I want to try to make the most of every one of those that I can to the best of my ability. Just thinking about her and the fact that she's been thought of, that's something that I really wanted to demonstrate. What are you hoping that your daughter says about you when you're not in the room? Like, what is your big hope and dream as she thinks about you and the topic of dad comes up? What do you want her to say about you?
So I think two sides to this. I know she's going to say that I have a lot of rules. I know that that's going to happen, but I think the real outcome of that is I want her to be able to say, and this isn't that mom didn't teach her this, but I want her to be able to say that dad taught her to be able to be strong. And realistically, I would say strong is a little bit further defined as willing to go do and try new things, things that I've never done before. I thought maybe achieved greater than what I initially thought I could, because it's all those moments of I can't do that or I don't think I can do that, where you have no idea. You didn't try it. Let's go give it a go. And are you going to fail sometimes? Absolutely. But are you going to win more often than you think? Probably. And going to do Spartan races or things along those lines. So to sum it up in a single word, strong would be the thing that I'm hoping she really takes away from the rules and the structure and trying new things and not being afraid, things like that.
What about the idea of just how different the world is now than when we were younger? She's dealing with stuff, technology, the world in her phone, the accessibility to all the stuff that she has, she can get to. And then just I know when I was young, I could leave school and come home and school stayed at school and I was at home. Nowadays, our kids carry the world in their hand and they can never escape or never shut it off. What kind of stuff are you teaching her about how to balance her online persona with her day-to-day life? Where do you help her draw some lines?
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting topic. We've been debating a lot certain apps like Snapchat and Instagram in the house. And so first of all, she only got her phone when she turned 12 years old. So she's only had a phone for a little over a year and a half at this point. And story for as we go through here, but she pays her phone bill. So I'm proud of that. That said, the apps are starting to come up and it's conversations around her wanting Snapchat as an example, as a way to snap her friends. And I try to recognize that the world is different. The world she's experiencing today is vastly different than the world that I experienced as a kid her age, which is vastly different than what my father experienced at his age, right? And I'm sure there's a lot of moments when my dad was like, I have no idea what's going on here or why this is even a thing. And he is less technology driven, obviously, than most his age and also compared to me. So I realize there's a semblance of, I just don't understand. There's pieces of it I don't understand. And I try to be as open-minded as possible. The other side of it is, in my professional career, social media specifically, and the phone is a very big part of my life. I have two cell phones, literally. So it's not only a part of my life, it's twice as much as the average person with a cell phone. So it's hard, admittedly, sometimes where social media is a big part of my growth strategy and who I am. And we'll have conversations around gaining followers or gaining comments and having conversations with people online. But I always try to paint the light that I am a producer of content. I'm putting things out there for people to consume. And there's certainly no semblance of, the more likes I get, the better it is. The more comments I get, the better it is. For me, it's a head down. This is what's necessary for me to go out and grow what I have goals for. And I want her to learn that it's not a place to always take in. But when you're 13, when you're 20, when you're 25, it's hard for people, for kids to not let those things affect them. So at this point, she's not allowed on social media yet. We're still exploring those pieces simply because I don't want to have to explain certain things. I don't want her to have access to be able to ask some of the questions and see it. We always have the debate and it's the, you don't trust me. And no, I actually trust you a lot. And of all the kids that you're around, I trust you probably more than most of them. And I'm not saying that just because you're my daughter. I'm saying that because of who you are as a person. But there's still things that I don't want to have to explain today because I don't think it's appropriate for you, which my wife brings up valid points of, we don't want to make her socially awkward because when she does leave the house at 17, 18 years old, she's going to learn it anyways. Yeah. So she's got to fit, like she's going to have to learn those pieces. And my wife and I have agreed that when she can discuss certain topics with us without becoming uncomfortable, so things that females go through, obviously, as they get older, that's probably the age where she's able to have this conversation with us and probably the age that social media is going to be allowed, because now we can have a conversation and it's not this weird thing going on between parents and kid, but rather two humans getting a chance to communicate around this thing that they saw and they have more questions about. So that's currently the way we're thinking about it. But it's a challenge and kids don't come with an owner's manual. Social media doesn't come with an owner's manual. Phones don't come with an owner's manual other than how to turn them on and use them. So I'm sure we're making some mistakes throughout that, but we're doing our best.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is when kids try to find their identity online and not in person, they lose the social skills. They don't know how to communicate to somebody eyeball to eyeball. They can't even look at you. Mm-hmm. You know, they are socially awkward because they've never sat across from someone and had a conversation. Everything's on the phone and that's their safe space. But at the same time, it can be really scary when, as a parent, you don't really know what's going on and what are they seeing and who has access to them. And you just kind of, I know when my kids were young, they would retreat to their room with their phone and the door shut. I don't know what's going on. Right. And I'm like, so there's probably a few things I probably wish I had put in place earlier on for my kids, just around like a curfew for your phone, maybe, so that they don't have it all night with them all night.
Yep.
There's little things that I listen to other dads and go, oh, that's a great idea. 10 years ago, I wish I heard you say that, because that would have helped me as a dad to do that. Oh, any other kind of guideposts that you have for your daughter that you kind of work through?
Yeah, when it's bedtime and time to unwind, phones are down for all of us and as a family. And for me, work, like I said, I'm attached to phones and that's how I generate income. But for me also, it's at 8:30, kind of phones are down. We're not on them anymore. She leaves her phone downstairs. It doesn't go to her bedroom with her. And when she gets up in the morning, she needs to get up. She needs to get dressed and brush her teeth and eat her breakfast. And it's not first thing to the phone. That's not the, like, I just don't want her to need it that bad that's what she's going for. The other side of it as well, and she's actually learned maybe some of the skills that I've hoped she has. And she actually does use her phone to make some money and sell certain things on apps that are managed by my wife and I. So we're interacting and we're seeing those pieces, but she's the person who's going out and trying to turn business from it. So I'm hoping through that, she learns that it's actually a tool to help with whatever her goals might be. And like I said, Sophia pays for her phone bill every month. I bought her the phone, or my wife and I bought her the phone. So we own the phone because now we can take it away, but she pays for the service. And for that, she does get an allowance and we made sure we did our math, but she wanted a new phone recently and she wanted the iPhone, 15, I think is the most newest one. And she didn't have enough money for it. Well, she got resourceful and figured out that she has certain things she'd be able to sell. And she literally in 24 hours came back and said, "Hey dad, here's my $180 for my new phone." And I was partially frustrated because she was getting the new phone and I want her to learn, like, you don't need the newest thing. But I was also a really proud dad moment of, she went out, she hustled, she found a way, like 13-year-old earned $200 in a day.
Wow.
And she was able to go pay for the new phone. And I was like, I'm impressed, proud, and frustrated all at the same time. So I think with that, she's learning and understanding to some extent that it's a tool and it's not just meant to be mindless activity to let your brain soak away and escape whatever you're currently in. And we check her weekly usage. We understand how long she's on her phone. And if there's ever these big spike ups, then it's just a conversation that has to be had. It's not a punishment. It's not a negative. It's we want to make sure we're keeping it to the right amount of time. And I don't think there's a magic number, but my wife and I have settled in and it feels appropriate for her to be on her phone all in all for probably somewhere around an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. So long as it's not just 90 minutes to 2 hours of just games, but rather also communicating, connecting with friends through phone calls and text messaging.
Yeah, that's good. You have a framework. You have a guide. As I think sometimes we get we put the phone in our kids' hands and we're like, there you go. And we don't know what they're doing. And we have no kind of expectation to share with them that this is kind of the framework of how this works.
Exactly.
And that's a great lesson that you're teaching. I love that. Part of my audience for Dad Space is dads that are listening to the show, looking to learn from another dad. I'm wondering, I've asked this before on another episode, but is there anything that you have changed your mind about as a dad, whether it was something you saw modeled on TV or media or in your family or yourself, that you yourself have done, that you're like, okay, I used to believe this. and now I'm kind of leaning this way. Have you changed your mind about anything?
I don't know that I can say I changed my mind, but there's certain things, and one thing very specifically stands out that I've adopted more, or they hit harder than I believed that they did. And it really comes into the fact that our kids learn more so from watching what and how we do things than what we tell them they should be doing. And it's little things where I never really valued that as much. And people have always said it. Your kids are watching you, and that's how they're going to learn to grow up. But if I could stress for any dad, any parent in general, they're watching 10 times more than any of us think that they are. And from that, they're learning 10 times more than whatever it is we tell them they should be doing. And being consistent in your actions and in how you speak and how you treat people and how you prioritize your time really, really plays a big role in how they grow up and mature. So if I, again, I don't know that I can say that that's a changed mindset, but it's one of those mindsets that for me grew significantly more, and I adopted way more than I think I valued it in the very beginning, just because of seeing how she's grown up and the things that she does. Even some of the questions she asks now, as she's more inquisitive around certain things and going down that road of asking questions, she's asking questions based upon what we say and do versus what we're telling her, which becomes kind of big and important.
Yeah, that's a big change. That's a really big change. Yeah, as I watch my kids growing up too, I can see them wrestling with their identity, wrestling with who they are and what they want to be. Have you kind of shared with her your dream of her path in life? Or you, how do you kind of direct her to find her thing down the road?
Honestly, it's a little cliche, but it's the, we want you to do what makes you happy. But there's also those conversations where, you know, money today is so different than money when I grew up. More money changes more hands more quickly today, but the same thing costs so much more. Like I think the house that I grew up in, my dad spent like $90,000 on. And that wasn't his first house, but he bought it in maybe the 80s or 90s. And now I don't even want to know what kind of house you would buy for $90,000.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, you know, but we're not talking the same trajectory on a straight line of dollars today, where she's growing up in a house that, you know, $750,000, which if I thought about that as a kid, like rich and mansion and all the things, and if you came to look at my house, you'd be like, this costs that much, kind of literally speaking in a sense, but it's so different from that perspective. So she's starting to learn the money side of this world. And it's always been chores and money. And again, like I mentioned, she does have to pay for certain things, but she's starting to get the value of money and understand those pieces, where she's asking questions along the lines of, if I want to do this job, can I earn like this much money? And she's starting to conceptualize what that looks like. She's starting to run into instances where she needs money to do certain things, i.e. buy the new phone or buy Starbucks twice a week. I mean, I think I was able to get coffees for a dollar when I was in my teenage years, and now it's $6 at Starbucks for a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just that difference where I think for us, it's the conversations around, I'm supportive of you doing what makes you happy and what lights you up inside to go do for work. But also understand, if you choose certain jobs, you will have to live a certain lifestyle. And it's not bad or good. It's just factually speaking. So I think right now the main message we're trying to show her is we support her, but also asking questions to get her to think around what she says she wants to do, but also what does she want life to look like? She lives, we probably vacation 5-6 weeks a year. There's certain jobs that probably won't afford you that from either a financial side of things or a freedom side. And there's certain jobs that will can afford you that from a freedom perspective, but not financially. Certain jobs that can afford you that financially, but not freedom wise.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of options there, and she just has to start to learn those things, and she'll find her way, is kind of our belief.
Love it. And when we chatted originally, we talked a little bit about your website. And you have a framework on your website, and it's all based around the word freedom. I'm wondering if I can ask you to tailor your freedom framework to specifically to dads as we kind of work through this together, because I think there's some really interesting things here that might be able to relate to a dad that's listening. And again, we'll have links to your website in the show notes for people to come and check out your amazing website. But all around freedom, can we kind of work through this and kind of, you know, see if we can develop this maybe for a dad?
Yeah, let's see how we can jam on bridging the gap between the freedom framework and dads.
Yeah, tell us the big picture of this. Yeah, what is the big picture?
Yeah, so it was really created for the business leader, for the business owner. And the premise of it, which is for any human, very relevant, is we all desire the freedom to do what we want to do, the freedom to do whatever it is, how we want to do it, and the freedom to do whatever it is when we want to do it. And that freedom comes in many forms and fashions. And it's a time perspective. It's a financial perspective. It's a opportunity perspective. There's a lot of pieces that go into that. But what I talk about in my day-to-day job is entrepreneurs, business leaders, managers creating the freedom for themselves by following a system that allows them to get to that version of freedom. Quantifiably, you got to put an age and dollars to it to an extent, but there's also the other side of it is the fulfillment and the flexibility to go do that. So clearly, if you work in a brick and mortar business, you got to be there to execute your job. And I'm not saying that's bad or good. It's just factually speaking, you can't just get up and leave for six straight months if that's the case.
Yeah.
If you work from your phone and a laptop, you can work from anywhere, which is bad and good because your freedom is sucked up by two cell phones that are always in your face. Right. So the high level steps on that is freedom. Also, seven letters stands for seven steps of this framework, and filter is the F. And that's really understanding what it is you need to be focusing on. So to kind of bridge that gap for dads and everything, what do you need to be focusing on? There's plenty of times and, you know, my family and I and all of us individually and holistically, we go through different seasons in late August, September and October. It's all marching band. We're focusing on marching band. Nothing else matters. Weekends are marching band, all the pieces. But then when I come out of it, hey, I can go travel for more work, or my wife and I can go take a weekend trip again, or whatever it is. And you need to understand those pieces. I'll kind of say, I work hard so I can dad hard.
Nice. Oh, I like that.
Situationally, I work hard so I can husband hard or whatever it is. But I got to dad hard when I can because I'm not always around. The next thing, R, is relate. And when we think about whatever it is we're focusing on, we need to relate some attention, some resources, whatever it is, to that. Like I mentioned, for 2.5 months, we're not going on any trips. I try to limit my work trips and we're focusing on marching band because we're going to travel and we don't want to miss those things. I grew up in a house where my parents didn't see all the things I got to do. And reasonably speaking, I don't want to miss as much as I can possibly avoid missing. The first E is educate. I think it's important to always be learning. Mm. And for our daughter, for us in general, we want to educate ourselves. What's the next thing we can be working on? What's the next thing we can learn? What does that look like from that perspective? You know, and that's, I'm focusing on this thing. What more can I learn about it? And it might be as simple as marching band. And I learned that I need a cushion for my butt sitting on the bleachers because that's not enjoyable for 4 hours in the cold.
Yeah.
Same token, maybe there's some fun thing we can go do together that ties in marching band with an activity as a family to also show that we express interest in the things that she has interest in. The next E, the second E there is empower. I'm big on empowerment, business, personally. I want our daughter to go and learn by failing, and usually a failure or a point in time, you learn from that, you come out of that. So I empower her as much as possible to go take control of things. And sometimes she's going to come out of it learning. Other times she comes out of it winning. Hey, you need to, you want a new phone? Amazing. Go figure it out. Mm-hmm. And 24 hours later, here's the money. Like, she sold 1 ounce of kid perfume for $80. Like, it blows my mind that she figured that out, but I'm proud and frustrated at the same time. But she's empowered to go solve those problems and kind of be that critical thinker, because we're not going to always stand in the way and solve the problems for her. Step five is define. Define what success or the appropriate outcome really looks like. What are you working towards? We know in sports, football, hockey, baseball, soccer, whatever it might be, there's a scoreboard. So we understand what winning looks like. Whoever has more points, there's rules. So we understand what's going on. One of the big mistakes I used to make a lot was I made a lot of assumptions that my daughter had the same life experience as me, because in my head, I know the answer, but they don't. And you kind of go through that opportunity where, oh, you know what? I have to explain certain things a little bit more, explain what success, what the rules, what whatever is because of that. And really defining what that looks like is a big important part. O is optimize. How do we take things that we currently have and explore and win and enjoy and not have to spend money, spend resources, whatever the case may be. And the last one, step seven, is maximize. If we go out and buy something new, is it going to increase what we have going on? So I would liken that to, for Christmas, we got her a Ninja Creamy. And the general idea was, we went out and spent $200 on another appliance that we probably didn't need in our kitchen. But now we get to go and make ice cream with each other every single night, which is a moment, a memory. It's fun, but it's also an opportunity to learn to make things that taste really good healthier. You make protein ice creams. There's not a lot of sugar in them. We're using plant-based milk sometimes to explore what that is. And then there's also the experimentation side of, let's mix all the ingredients in the cup and see what happens. And sometimes it probably doesn't taste good. Other times this is delicious. Yeah. So I would say those, you know, parents go out and again, you do you as a dad. But if you're going to spend money on a new toy, if you will, how can you get the most out of that? And the creativity, the cooking, the time together, the fun of eating the ice cream that is now healthy and learning about some of those macronutrient things for a 13-year-old, I think in today's world is pretty important. So that's my quick version of bridging it over from business to personal, if that works.
And now for all those people listening, Steve had no idea I was going to ask him to do that. And you did stellar, just stellar. I could see your eyes go, oh, uh-oh. But you did so good with that. I knew. I've been through your website. I know what you do. So I was pretty sure you could handle that question. Steve, again, tell us more about what you do, your website, all of that stuff. Who do you help? How can we get more people to come and support you and your journey as well? Talk us through that a little bit more.
Yeah. So at the core, I'm a business and leadership coach. I help leaders be better leaders, and I also help team members be better team members effectively. The systems that I teach are rooted in empathic kind of feelings and understanding that people are people, humans are humans, and how do we act more human? How can we be more human in our engagement and our interaction? We talked about kids growing up on screens and not being able to have real conversations, and that's a thing that's missing not only with kids, but I think with people in general. And in today's day and world, we have a little bit of a sense entitlement for certain things. It is easier to maybe get some more money, but we also have this social awkwardness that exists. And we also have this old school mentality that still kind of sits out there of how you lead people in this top down, get it done or else mentality. So for me, seeing a massive gap in the space of entrepreneurs and call it online infopreneurs, there's teams that see there's these visions and these things that the world needs. And I get to support all of that. So I'm a business coach. I am a leadership coach. And I'd like to say a little bit of a relationship coach to an extent and in that business side, because that's really where it comes in. In terms of finding me, the two platforms I hang out most is Instagram and Facebook. And just search my name, Stephen, Stephen Kopshaw, Kopshaw. Try to be consistent, put out content, again, mostly business related, but also happy to have a conversation, talk about being a dad, being a parent, being a husband, being a softball coach, and all the things that I do outside of just work. Yeah, that's going to be your best way to find me.
I love it. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking us through freedom, and we're going to apply it to our dad journey, which is great. And again, I would listen to this episode again by going to Steve's website and following along as he does this, because I was doing that as you're doing it, reading through ahead of you as you led us through that. That was really good, Steve. I really appreciate that. Again, thank you for sharing your dad's story. Thank you for being so open and, you know, revealing about your family and your journey as a dad. I love hearing everyone's dad story, because again, that dad that's listening, that's maybe going to find out this week they're going to be a dad for the first time, coming to the show and hearing your thoughts, and then they find out they're going to have a daughter and they're like, oh no, what am I going to do? Hearing your thoughts, I think, really kind of helps give us something to build on. So you've done it for us. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on. It was great. Great to get to know you, and hopefully there's just one nugget of information out there to help one person. That would be a podcast well done then.
Excellent. Everyone, all the information in the show notes, as always, please go support Steve. Check out all of his information and his website and let him know you heard about him here on the podcast. Steve, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here, for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, or if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.